So I want you to turn to two passages of scripture tonight. We're going to get into the word. First, we're going to go to Philippians chapter 3. And then I'd like for you to turn over to Revelations chapter 2. And while you're turning there, one of the things that I've been reflecting on this year has been just all the things that's happened at the beginning of the year, even up until now. And so I tend to do this at the end of the year. I ask the Lord continuously, I say to the Lord, what is it that you want to speak to me to get ready for next year? I want to get my mindset for next year. What do you want to do ministry wise? What do you want to do in my family? What do you want to do in my life and getting prepared for next year? And in my asking the Lord that, he said, let's talk about this year. I was like, okay, let's talk about this year. He goes, I want you to finish well. I want you to finish well. I was like, okay, so what does that mean? He's like, want you to finish well and continue. Because in the midst of it, I'm reflecting back upon this year, there's been so many things that have happened. We've had our senior pastor have had some health issues, so I've had to fill in there. One pastor left, and so who gets all the responsibility? I don't know who that is. I don't know why I'm raising my hand. But anyway, somebody gets that responsibility. And so this thing, I'm in school, you know, trying to make sure that I have good grades. I got wife, and we got four kids. And so through all the stuff that's going on, it's easy to get distracted and just busy. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just busy. There's just stuff going on. It's like every time you turn around, there's something going on, right? And so my wife one day, she came to me and she said, Do you remember the days when we didn't have children? I said, don't say that. You got to take me back and reminisce when we didn't have kids. Now, we love our kids, but there were some days when we didn't. It's like, I remember when I was at that steakhouse and I was getting ready to propose to you. And I remember standing there nervous, and I went to you and I sat down and I proposed to you, and there was just so much passion. And we were just like, man, we're in love. She goes, we're still in love, but there's something that's changed, right? There's stuff that's changed. We got kids now, and they come into the world, and they don't care about your passion. They don't care about your passion. It's just like, I mean, every time I try to, I'm walking in, they're just like, I need this, I need that. I mean, can you stop digging in my pockets for just a minute? Can y'all hug me just because I'm daddy? Please. You know what I'm talking about? Something always is trying to rob you of, you know, so I have to be intentional. Everybody say the word intentional. I've got to be intentional because I don't want to be the guy that takes Vanessa for granted. So I got to be intentional about our date time. And so sometimes we'll sit in the car, we're getting ready to go on a date, and I'm just like, hello, where do you want to go, babe? Wherever you want to go, I'm ready to take you. She goes, can we just sit in the driveway and not do nothing and just talk? Just hold my hand right here in the driveway. Just hold my hand. It's like, really? You don't want to go anywhere? No, I don't want to go anywhere. I just want to sit here in the driveway. Look at it. It's so lovely. Look at the driveway. It's so nice. Isn't it nice and peaceful? Isn't it nice and peaceful and peaceful and peaceful? You know what I'm saying? So there's stuff to, and so she's going through it. And so I have to be intentional. If we're going to do everything that God has called us to do, and we're going to be intentional in these last days and everything that's going on, we are going to have to stir up the passion. We've got to be intentional about our time with the Lord. We're going to have to be intentional about prayer. We're going to have to be intentional about the word. We're going to be intentional about worship, because that's the thing that the enemy is trying to rob you of, to get you off of the place that God has for you. Is that correct? Do you believe that? Because the Bible says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And he came that we might have life. But if you are not intentional about your relationship with the Lord, the enemy will come in and try to steal all of your time. The next thing you know, anybody, and I know I'm not the only one, where you look up and you have not done, the day is gone. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The day is gone, and all of a sudden you find yourself in a mess, and you have not spent time. So there's God, you have to be intentional about that. I have to get up in the morning. I have to get up before my kids get up, because now they have these things called jobs, and so, but they can't drive. So somebody's got to take them. And so who's got to take them? So let's pinky wrestle to see who's going to take them in the morning. So somebody's got to take them. So there's all kind of stuff that's going on. I want to be intentional about stirring up my passion for the Lord. Amen. It's got to be stirred up. It's intentional. Prayer is intentional, because the enemy is always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. Look at the stuff on the news and the media, things that are going on in our world. If you can't even watch the news anymore, simply because there's stuff that's just going on all the time. You know, everybody in Texas is trying to buy more guns. Amen. How many know that's kind of the answer, but it's not really the answer. Okay. Everybody's trying to buy guns. They're trying to get secure. The only way you're going to be secure in this day and time is Jesus Christ. He is still the only answer for the world today, for all the problems and issues that are going on. What about racism? What about Jesus? What about money? What about Jesus? I'm telling you what, you are going to have to focus your attention upon who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is, because if you're not, you're going to focus on everything else around you, and all the other thing that is around us is going to keep us and our mind off of what God has called us to do and be in this day and age. Amen. Let's read Philippians. It's Philippians. Chapter 3. We'll start at verse 7. This is what Paul's saying. He says, yet indeed, we're going to start at 7. But what things were gained to me? You read the scripture before. These things I have counted what? Everybody say it together. Loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain who? Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us, the hope of things to come, that I may gain Christ and be found where? In him. We have got to be found in him. If they're looking for me, I'm found in Jesus. If they're trying to find me, I want to be found in Jesus, because that's the only place that I can find security, find love, find the passion that I need by stirring it up because of my relationship with the Lord. Amen. Found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may, well, we sang it tonight, that I may what? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Listen, this is what we're talking about, that I may know him, knowing him is the only thing that God has called. Knowing Christ, our relationship with him, forming and making sure that we're spending time in the word. Listen, I'm finding this as I'm going to different churches, talking to different people. I'm finding out that there's more people who are just going to church, going through the motions, singing good songs, listening to a good sermon, and still going back and not being changed. I'm still finding out when I'm counseling people, I'm counseling things and people about certain things in life, whether it's marriage, whether it's about money, whether it's about their children, whether it's about whatever it is. When I'm counseling people, I'm asking them this question: how is it that you are not understanding that it's about Jesus and he is not the first? You know, but what about my kids? Your kids are not first. Your job is not first. All these things. God has got to be first in your life. You have to get to a point where that is the only thing that is first. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto us. I'm finding people seeking all these things and the Lord saying, listen, if you will, we're going to read in Revelations where the church is, if you return back to your first love, return back to your first love, the thing that you did first, the thing that was first about who you are and what you're doing. I remember just a few weeks ago, my son and I were in the car together, and he asked me about the first time that I got saved. And I thought I've told that story 100 times, but for some reason, he keeps asking me about it. You remember the first time you got saved? I go, yes, I remember the date. It was a Thursday night after the Cosby Show. I remember the Cosby Show used to come on Thursday nights. So it's come after the Cosby Show, and my mother, who was just, you know how my mom is. We were just at the Cosby Show, and the news came on, and it was during the Cold War, and they were talking about war and stuff, and my mother was just like, you know, my sister tell me, and she said, Now that can mean a lot of things. That can mean a lot of things when she does that. So I'm like, so all of a sudden we all look at each other like, what does that mean? She said, man, I'm telling you what, if you don't know Jesus, it's a bad, you need to know him. And she wasn't even, I don't even think she was saying anything to me. She was just saying, it's a time to know Jesus. And I remember, so I was telling my son this, I knelt beside my mother's bed and my mother led me to the Lord, when I was 8 years old. I remember that. And so he was just like, well, what was it like? I said, man, I'm telling you what, I was immediately changed. I was, something happened on the inside of me that I was changed. And there's some things that just absolutely changed my life. I knew I was saved. And he goes, did you ever get saved again? I go, yes, 100 times. I'd go down to the front and get saved. Anybody else other than me come down here? Amen. Come on. Don't be shy. Y'all know you did. They would play that song, just as I am with, you know what I'm talking about? They'd bring it down. You'd come down. And I'd be like, is there just one? And that'd be me coming down. I'm just here, Lord. Just please save me again. I can't tell you how many times I got saved. CJ, I was telling him that. He said, you got saved? What happened? I go, I guess it didn't take. I guess it didn't take when I got saved. I had to come in. It's like one more again. Like, it's like in the movies where they just make themselves cry. Snot and everything. Just coming down. Lord, I messed up again. I was telling him, I was like, listen, he goes, what has kept you through the years of all this time? He's asking me this and I want to make sure I give him a good answer. What has kept you through the years? You've had ups and downs. You've told us about, I'm really good by telling my kids about some of my failures and things that I've done. But he goes, I see you praying in the morning. I see you spending time with us. What has kept you? And I told him, listen, the only thing that has kept me through the years is my relationship with the Lord. That is the only thing that has kept me. I've been betrayed. People talk bad about me. People told me I wouldn't get positions. I wouldn't do this. I wouldn't do that. But all those times, just like even with David, the Bible says that David inquired of the Lord. In the midst of turmoil and trial and temptation and all the things that go on in your life, there is something on the inside of you that has got to say, I don't know in whom I have believed that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him against that day. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't trust everybody. I can't talk to everybody. I may be talking to somebody and they may try to swindle me out of something, but I'm telling you this, I can trust the Lord. I can put my life in him. I can trust him. I know that he has my back. I know that he can back me in the middle. I don't know. I know some friends that'll say that they'll go with you and they'll be with you. I remember that, but I'm telling you, I know that somebody who will never turn their back on me, and it's Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if there's any relationship you need to cultivate, it's your relationship with the Lord. You've got to cultivate that relationship. What does that mean? We don't have TV in our house. Why don't we have TV in our house? Simply because. Why you don't watch TV? Man, I do watch sports, but I know that if I get cable, the devil is going to just intertwine my mind with that. So we don't have TV in our house. I just can't. I'll be watching it all day long. Just like, oh Lord, look at that. Go to Cowboys. They're horrible this year. But anyway, the deal is that I know that there's certain things that I have to set up in my life. There's certain things that I know the devil does, pitfalls in my life that I have to avoid. And so I do that. I make sure, because I don't want anything to come in between my relationship with Jesus. I'm not going to let anything come in between my prayer life. My prayer life is important because that is where I get my marching orders for the day. My prayer life, my time in the Word, that is where I get my sustenance and where I cultivate that in the Word. I have to know the Word of God, because the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you know what that means? It means that I hang on every single word. A lot of people we're just living life. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. And then they're in trouble. But I'm telling you what, if you're not living by the Word, you're missing the mark. You got to live by the Word, the Word of God, living by His Word, because it's life. The Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing the soul asunder between the spirit and it's alive. Amen. It's alive. It's quick. It's alive. And so those things are important. Revelations chapter 2. Are you getting this? Are you understanding what I'm saying here? And in the midst of cultivating your relationship with the Lord, because I'm telling you that, again, there are all kind of things that are going on that the enemy would love to move you off from, move you from the place that God has for you. The Bible says in Psalms, it says, I will show you, some people looking for direction, I will show you the path of life. In my presence, what? There's fullness of joy. And at my right hand, there's pleasures evermore. Amen? You're going to find it right there at his side. Now, before we read this, I want to tell you guys something that happened just a dream that I had. I'm going to share this with you. I had a dream that me and my family were playing, because we have a boat and we love to go to the lake. That's one of our favorite things. We love going to the lake, you know, and we have picnics at the lake. I try to do that as much as possible, spending time with. I love tubing with the kids and throwing them off. If you're on Facebook, I put plenty of videos on there because I just love to sling them off. Reason why I love to sling them off is because that's what Brian Smith used to do to me when we were tubing and boating back in the day. And he loved to swim. I mean, you know, and I was a big dude, so you sling me off, I go for like three counties. You know what I'm saying? Just go forever. You know, and so we love to have time to do that. We enjoy that. But I had this dream not too long ago. It was a few weeks ago, and I've been pondering it. And in this dream, me and my family were playing like in this river. And we were, and it looked just like the river, like behind our house. I watched out. We were just playing in it, and we were just having a great old time. And it was really good. And so we came in, and then I was walking up the bank of the river, and I saw that we were not in the river, but we were on a little tributary to the side of the river. And it wasn't the actual river. And I asked the Lord, I go, Lord, what is that? And he said to me, he goes, son, a lot of times when we think we are in the river, we're not in the river. We're off to the side of what it isn't even in the river, a tributary. It's fun for a season. He said, I'm telling you, it's time for my people to get in the actual river. Because the Bible says that there's a river that flows from the throne of God, and it brings healing and to everything that it touches. And it's time for us to not be playing off to the side. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? It's time for us about to be playing off to the side and what we think is a river. It's time for us to actually get in the river and the stream of what God is doing, and for him to move us into the places that he's called us to be in. You know what I love about a river? A river, you can get in it and it will take you wherever the river wants to take you. Amen. You can get in a river and we used to float down that. We're almost drowned, but I don't want to talk about that. Float down the Little Missouri, because you know black people can't swim, and I didn't even tell you that. But anyway, I never said I was sorry for that, but now's a good time. Sorry for it. You remember that happening? See, you hadn't forgave me for that. Anyway, that's all right. But the river will take you wherever it is that it needs to take you. And what we need to do is continue to get into the river of God, into the place that he has for us. And the flow of the river, not trying to do our own thing. Look at your neighbor and say, not trying to do my own thing. Not trying to do my own thing, but get in the place that God has. Where is the river? Ask yourself this. Where is the river taking me today? Where is the river to allow? Where is it? If I will let go of whatever it is that I'm trying to hold on to. That's what I had to teach my son. That we were tubing one day, and I was pulling him along with the boat, and we were going pretty fast. And he fell off of the tube, and he held on to the rope. And I drug him for a long time. He's water. Blah, 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 blah. I go, son, let go of the rope. He goes, I can't. I go, yes, you can. You just let it go. That's all you do. Here, practice it with me. Just let it go. That's all you do. He was just holding on to it because he thought I was going to leave him. I said, if you will let it go, you got a life jacket on, you'll be all right. Some of us are still trying to hold on to the thing that the enemy is trying to drag us through the mud about. Some of us are still trying to hold on to something. And the Lord's like, if you will just let it go and allow me to take you wherever it is that I want to take you, it's going to be good. Amen. Revelations 2. That was free. Anyway, Revelations 2. We're just talking about the lover's church. To the angel, to the church of Ephesus, you've read the scripture before, but I want to point out something. These things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, we said that earlier. Another translation says that you have forgot to do the first things. You've forgotten to do the first things, the things that are important. We were talking about just earlier, the Christmas season and all the things that are going on, how they've commercialized Christmas and they've done all these different things. What we need to remember to finish well and to stir up our passion is to remember that that our first love is Christ. Amen. Remembering who that is. What do we do when they first? You remember when you, how many of you remember when you first got saved? Raise your hand if you remember when you first got saved. Do you remember the passion that you had? Do you remember? Nothing could stop you. You would, what they used to say in the Baptist church, where they say that you would charge hell with a water pistol. You remember that? Where you were, you pray for anything. You didn't care what it was. Somebody sneezed, you would go pray for them. You know what I'm saying? It didn't make any difference. You guys remember what I'm saying? And it was just what I was telling Vanessa. It's like, remember that. Just as things get in the way, but God is bringing us back to Him so that we can finish well. Because God, He has gone before us. He's prepared. I'm telling you, everybody that I know of is just waiting for Jesus to come back. There's a lot of people just waiting for Jesus to come back. How many of you want Him to come back? I want Him to come back. I'm excited for Him to come back. But He did say, occupy till I come. Did He say that? He said, occupy till I come. So I don't want to be just standing around whistling Dixie when I know that the Lord has called me to do some things. I want to continue to have passion. We have a saying at our church, our staff is, when the spotlight hits you, you already need to be dancing. Right? You know, there's two type of people. There's the people who wait for the spotlight to come on them. Oh, I better start dancing. You know what I'm saying? Or there's the people that's already doing it because they have a passion for it. And the spotlight hits them and they're just like, woo, that dude got some moves. You know what I'm saying? And so we need to already be dancing when the spotlight hits us. Because you know why? Because the light that hits us is coming from heaven. That's causing us, the world, to see what we're doing so that we can show our good works. And so that people can see the light of what Jesus is doing in our life. Amen. So a passion, stirring up that passion, going back to the first thing. I remember that wanting to get everybody saved, wanting to witness to people. I remember when I led my sons to the Lord, and they were trying to get everybody saved on our block. They were witnessing to little old ladies walking down the street coming out. I was like, hey, guys, y'all need to use some wisdom. I'm the only black person in this neighborhood. Y'all got to use some wisdom. You know, you can't just walk up to everybody and you got to, please, can y'all calm down? I was like, Daddy, they need to know the Lord. I was like, I know they do, but let's start with praying for them first. Let's back down just a little. Let's back this thing down just a little bit. And so they were so passionate about they were young. I mean, they didn't care. They were just praying for everything. And one of the things that I believe that the church has lost is the innocence, and we've become too cynical, and we've become too critical. And we become too rigid when the Bible has called us to stir up the passion that we need to be doing all that God's called us to be doing in this time right now. This is the greatest time of the church. I believe that. This is not a time for the church to shrink back. It's not a time for us to just be like us four no more. I believe that this is the greatest time for revival to raise up in the church like never before so that we can see an increase in the harvest that God has called us to. Do you believe that? I believe that God is calling us to that. But it's going to start with people who are not going to be weary just because, oh my gosh, I got to go to work today. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's Monday. I see some of your Facebook posts. I'm following some of you on Facebook. I know some of this. I know. I read it. Just like, oh Lord, it's Monday. Oh good Lord. I'm going to tell you, how about waking up in the morning saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The devil is a lie. I have things to do, people to see, places to go, because God has put a new strength in me, a new passion, a new song in my heart. My kids are always saying to me, like, Dad, it seemed like you, where are you learning them songs from? I go, I just make them up. They go, we know, because they don't make no sense. I go, I don't even care. You know why? I'm not singing to you. I'm singing to the one who saved me, the one who raised me, the one who put my feet on a solid rock, the one who put a ring on my finger and said, welcome home, son. And when you get that revelation, you don't care what anybody else says. They could be like, you know, you can't sing. Be like, I don't even care. I'm not singing to you. I'm singing to my God and my Savior. And I know that he lives, and my Redeemer lives. Amen. I remember I was listening to a preacher, Joseph Garlington, was saying one day that he was at the zoo. And he saw this, he was looking at some animal at the zoo, and he was like, that is the ugliest animal I ever seen in my life. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, I didn't make it for you. They didn't make it for you. So I was thinking about this, like, you know what? There's so many things. Listen, when I get to and understand that everything is built to glorify God, I am created to glorify God. So it doesn't matter how I feel or what circumstances are trying to dictate to me or the things that are going on in my life. All I know is that I am blessed in the city, blessed in the country, going in, coming out. I'm blessed. I'm blessed when I lay down, wherever I go. If I'm in Starbucks, if I'm in Walmart, if I'm in Chili's, wherever I'm going, I know that the Spirit of God just walked in. Because why? Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's anointed me to be able to set free those that are captive, because this is a time and to preach the gospel so that people can come in out of darkness and be and translated into His glorious light. Sometimes we're so self-absorbed. So self-absorbed. They're like, Lord, I don't know. We seen that song. I don't know. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Listen, He knows the trouble you've seen, but He's wanting to pull you out of the trouble so that your testimony can be bigger than your test. Amen? And how are we going to do this? We got to stir up the passion that's on the inside of us. Bring us to the first things. What are the first things? I remember the Lord was talking to me about this, and I'm about to close, about relating it to how I was courting my wife. I'm serious. I thought I was just crazy in love. I was just crazy in love. And so my friends was trying to find me. They go, we got to find this guy and save his life. He just disappeared. Where is he? I was with her. I was just with her. So I'm just, I remember trying to, going to the, to taking her to the most expensive restaurant, and I didn't even have any money. Just a big old thing of ones, you know, and come to pay the bill. I was just like, he was like, here it is, sir. I'd be like, hey, hold up. One, two, hold on, three. I mean, I did. I was just trying to impress her. I was just trying to, I wanted her to see me in a different light. I was so in love. We go to the movies, or I would, don't worry, I got this. I tried to take her to a baseball, and it was just all about her. Everything about my life was just all about her. How come we can't be all about Jesus? Why is it that we got to be all about everything else? How come we can't be all about Jesus? How come we can't, and it's not just a feeling. I'm spending time with my wife, because I love her. I enjoy just finding out things and asking. We've been married 17 years and I'm still finding out stuff about her. And so, and it's just unique. It's great. You know, she just got a new pair of glasses. You know, I got her a new pair of glasses the other day, and she's like, wow, these glasses are really amazing. I go, really? I was like, how did I change your vision a whole lot? What? How different is everything around you? You know, is everything like different, like in a good way? And she looked at me and she was just like, oh my gosh, you're black. She's trying to be funny. Like, that's not what I was trying to get you to see. But can I tell you something? And this is the last thing I'm going to say. If we are going to walk in our destiny, we're going to have to get new perspective. You're going to have to get a fresh perspective of what Jesus is doing and saying. Amen. You're going to have to, I'm telling you, some of you need some different kind of lenses. Some of you are in transition. You need some transition lenses. Some of you are nearsighted and you need God to bring, you need to see it differently. Some of you need to bifocals. You know what I'm saying? See them glasses. My dad look at me sometimes. He put his hands just like this. Don't let that fool you, boy. I can still, you know, I can see. I can come around you. Some of us need a fresh perspective of the situation that we're in right now. Looking through the lens of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Stirring up passion. Won't you stand with me? I'm going to pray for you. Did you get anything out of that? Amen. That was just a nugget of God, of what I feel like the Lord's been doing in and through me. And I want to pray tonight that He would, even right there where you are. Some of you are maybe weary. Some of you may be in a place where you're just like, man, I am absolutely just overwhelmed. If that's you, you're overwhelmed, stuff going on, I want you to just raise your hand. Both, just raise your hand. I'm going to pray over you right now. Just stuff that's going on. Whether it's a healing in your body, whatever it is, I want to pray that God would absolutely cause you to not focus on the problem, but focus on the answer, which is Jesus. Man, I'm telling you what, the enemy would love to get you off and try to get you focused on everything else other than what he is saying. I'm telling you, focus on Jesus. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I want to thank you that we get to, even right now, Lord, we stir up. Some of you just, you know what, don't wait for me. Just start right now. Just asking the Lord to stir up passion on the inside of you. Fresh passion, fresh anointing, fresh fire, Lord, to fall upon us, Lord, even right now in Jesus' name. Lord, any place that we're weary, any place, God, Lord, in our mind that needs to change, any place, Lord, where our eyes are seeing differently than you're seeing, God, would you open up our eyes to see you more so than we've ever seen you before, that it would be clear, Lord, right now. Somebody needs a word from the Lord, even right now, about a job situation. The Lord just quickened my spirit. You need to hear right now. You're in the midst of decision about a job situation. The Lord, right now, would you just make it clear in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. Somebody even struggling with depression, even right now, and just struggling with depression, and you need the Spirit of God to wash off that depression. In Jesus' name, would you break that off? In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And would you stir up fresh passion, anew and afresh in our lives? A hunger for the word. Lord, we're asking for a hunger for the word like we've never had before. Lord, would stir up, Lord, worship on the inside of us. You said if we didn't praise you, the rocks and trees would. Lord, it's our place to worship you. A fresh passion, Lord, for prayer. Hunger for prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Jesus' name.